Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. Zach Gelb here with you on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a look back at the weekend that was in college football and the NFL with a little studs and duds.
On the Zach Gelb Show, we're looking for studs.
Back to pass, Bosa picked up, deep shot, Jefferson, yes!
But sometimes we have to tolerate the duds.
Mistake!
Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete, no!
He dropped it!
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands!
Now for the moment you've all been waiting for.
And here we go.
It's time for Studs and Duds.
Notre Dame had one last test in trying to make the college football playoff. They still play Syracuse after their victory up against Pitt. They still had Stanford, but the last test was Pitt. Right after losing the first two games of the season, Miami against A&M, they knew they had to win out. You beat Purdue, you beat Arkansas, you beat Boise State, you beat NC State. Who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares? All right, USC, always a good rivalry game. You beat them. They were in the top 25 and still are. Then you beat Boston College. Who cares? You beat Navy. You blew them out. Who cares? But then you're playing Pitt at Pitt's place. Pitt's in the top 25. They're moving back in the right direction. You're still expected to win this game by 10.5 points. I think that was the spread. And you beat up on the Pittsburgh Panthers by a score of 37-15. If Notre Dame somehow loses against Syracuse or Stanford, it'd be one of the biggest choke jobs in the history of college football. But for the second year in a row, Notre Dame should be in the college football playoff. But entering this game, they have a freshman defensive back by the name of Tay Johnson. And he had 3 interceptions on the season. And Stu was raving about him last week. We were talking about some Notre Dame players that we should reach out to Notre Dame to try to get them on the show. And one of the 5 or 6 that we were discussing were Tay Johnson. And early on in the game, he had a pick six. He had a little bit of a house call as Notre Dame secured another victory, as I think it punched their ticket to the college football playoff as long as they just take care of business up against Syracuse and Stanford.
Heinzel's got the ball. Throws underneath, picked off in midfield. Intercepted by Notre Dame. It's going to be a pick six across the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Tay Johnson takes it home. 13-0 Notre Dame on back-to-back plays. The Irish are in the end zone.
Stud.
Nico.
All right, I'm going to head down to South Beach and go with Miami head coach Mario Cristobal.
Really?
Now, the reason is because Miami...
Can he win a big game?
They lose the game to Louisville, and then they have another loss to SMU 2 weeks later. But if you look at what they've done the last couple of weeks, they blew out Syracuse, they blew out NC State. And after the loss to SMU, it seems like everybody kind of forgot about Miami. But he's done a nice job righting the ship. Now, I know that those two teams are not world beaters by any means, but you could have easily lost the locker room. The guys could have given up on you. But Cristobal has kept his team in the hunt. And he talked about the dominant win Saturday night.
The way you play the game certainly it screams, right? Loudly. You know, going into the fourth quarter, I mean, what can you say about the defense? The opponent was held to under 100 total yards. There were 0 points on the scoreboard, and it wasn't like we put in just twos. I mean, we put in everything that comes after that.
Stud!
Now, Stu, I don't want to crush Nico here. I like Nico. I'm one of Nico's biggest supporters, if I'm just being honest. With that being said, Nico, we only get 3 of these studs, right? Only 3. All the things that happen in college football, can I throw a little challenge flag? Do we think Mario Cristobal blowing out NC State is deserving of a stud? With all the things that happened this weekend in college football,
It's probably not where my head would have gone first, but I don't know. I mean, they won. They stayed in the playoff mix. It's good.
Dud.
All right. You're being nice. I'll let you be nice. You're a nice guy. I'm not. Go ahead.
All right. I will go down to Athens for mine, and Texas versus Georgia was one of the two, you know, games of the week that we were kind of looking forward to, and Gunnar Stockton, I thought he had a really nice performance. He outplayed Arch Manning. Stockton completed 24 of 29 passes, 229 yards, had four passing touchdowns, and he also had a rushing touchdown. This was his fifth. This was a rushing touchdown, his fifth total touchdown of the game.
The Dogs third and goal from the 4-3 tight ends. Josh McCray, I formation, fake the toss. Gunner rolls to the left, bootleg, wide open to the end zone. Can he get there? You bet he can. Touchdown, Gunner. Stud.
Alrighty, let me get to my NFL stud. How about the Buffalo Bills? Josh Allen makes you want to shout. That was a back and forth game. I'm thinking to myself, hey, that could go either way. And then Josh Allen just became Josh Allen, and Bishop had a nice play as well in that football game, as the Buffalo Bills do defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a score of 44-32. And in the contest, Josh Allen, three passing touchdowns, 317 yards through the air, and he had three rushing touchdowns as well on six carries for 40 yards. So that's six total TDs for one Josh Allen. Let's hear his fifth and sixth touchdowns of the day to secure the Buffalo Bills a 44-32 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Three receivers left. Knox on the right. Cook to the right of Allen in the shotgun. Play clock down to three. Here's the snap. Allen going to run it over the right side, looking for the end zone. And the beast is in once again for a five-yard touchdown run. It's a five-touchdown day for Josh Allen. Allen back to pass, now going to tuck it and run as he's looking for the end zone. And the surge pushes him in for his sixth touchdown of the game. He is a beast with a capital B. He is a scoring machine. He's unbelievable. He has tied his career high in a football game.
Stud.
And he becomes the first player in NFL history with multiple games of three-plus passing touchdowns and three-plus rushing touchdowns in the same game. So how about that? Alrighty, next one, Nico.
All right, how about Brock Purdy, 49ers quarterback? There was so much talk about when he came back. How would Mac Jones do as the 49ers starter? But I think Purdy quieted the doubters for sure yesterday. A dominant performance over the Cardinals. Right, but 19 for 26, 200 yards, three touchdowns. Yep, two touchdowns to his tight end, George Kittle. And this is how the second touchdown to George Kittle sounded that put the game pretty much out of reach for San Francisco.
Third and goal from the four. CMC back into the game.
Can they beat man coverage?
Purdy to throw. Again, floats it into the end zone. Kittle for the second time. Touchdown, 49ers.
Stud.
All righty, I'm going to see if I can find something wrong with all of Nico's selections today. I didn't love the first two, if I'm just being honest. So your duds better be good. All righty, what do you got, Stu?
All right, Zach, I hope you like mine. My next one, my NFL stud, is Bryce Young, the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers, they won in overtime yesterday against the Falcons, 30-27. Bryce Young completed 31 of 45 passes, 448 yards passing, three passing touchdowns, and the Panthers have been kind of a nice story this year. They're now 6-5. You had Rico Dowdle kind of coming out.
Can you believe they got six wins, the Panthers?
Six wins. Would not have expected that. No chance.
They don't feel like a six-win team.
They don't.
Oh, that's crazy.
Should be seven if they could beat the Saints.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, geez, six wins for the Cavs. Like, let's see how many seasons we have to tally up. Oh, no, okay. It was bad, but like 5-11, 5-11, 5-12, 7-2, 2-15. Yeah. 2023, 2024. 2024, they were 5-12. 2023, they were 2-15.
Wow.
Yeah, six wins now.
Six wins.
Sue, there's hope for your Raiders.
Maybe. I hope so. Bryce Young, though, just a really nice performance. And he had this 36-yard touchdown pass in the middle of the game to Xavier Leggett.
Bryce, the snap. Time of the pocket, going deep, down the left side for Leggett, makes the catch, touchdown, Carolina, you wanted the big play, you got the big play, giddy up, 36-yard touchdown catch from Xavier Leggett.
Stud.
Alrighty, I will get to my college football dud. South Carolina. You're up at halftime by 27 points. 27 points. I think the stat was entering that game since 2004. SEC games where teams trail or where teams trailed by 27 points, they were 0 for 286, I think it was. I believe it was that. And then Texas A&M comes on back and they win the game. I couldn't believe that. It was 30-3. Shane Beamer's running off the field at halftime like he won the national championship. And we're all getting ready to pounce and slam A&M, and they punch him in the mouth in the second half, and they end up winning the game 31-30. Let's listen up. This was E.J. Smith's 11-yard touchdown run to give A&M the lead, and it officially made the Gamecocks of South Carolina a
good.
Run to the right side, run into the end zone. Touchdown, Aggies. We are tied. E.J. Smith.
Dud.
All right, Anika, let's see how you're going to mess this one up.
All right, let's see if I can pass the test here. I'm going to stick in the SEC, and I will go with Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach.
Don't love it, but go ahead.
The Crimson Tide last year went 9-4, didn't make the playoffs, obviously. Now this year, 8-2, should still get in, but I don't want to compare DeBoer to Nick Saban because he's not going to be Nick Saban, not supposed to be Nick Saban. But the expectation for Alabama needs to be higher, and it just hasn't been good enough so far for DeBoer's time in Tuscaloosa. He was the clinching play for Oklahoma as they sealed the 23-21 road victory at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Into the backfield now, he brings Hill. Under a minute. 4th and 6. Snap. Simpson looks left. Throws out to the left. It's broken up. Incomplete. Pete Bowen knocked it down. Alabama's got an Oklahoma problem.
Dud.
Here's why I don't love it. I think you should have given it to Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson was the reason why they lost that game. He was a turnover machine. And then also, it's tough for me to crush the coach when, yes, they got embarrassed week one, and that was on the coach. But then they won 8 in a row against that gauntlet of a schedule before dropping one. They still play Eastern Illinois and Auburn. If they lose to Auburn, then crush the coach. But they'll be in the college football playoff, and they'll have a chance to go win a national championship this year. I still think that. But I put that one more on Ty Simpson than Kalen DeBoer. That's why I didn't love it.
They've had some issues at Jordan-Hare recently, too, because you have to think 2023 was the 4th and 31. Mm-hmm. And then 2021, they had to go to quadruple overtime just to beat Auburn. So yeah, that game's going to be interesting in a couple weeks.
Don't get me wrong. It's the Iron Bowl, rivalry weekend. Anything could happen. You lose that game to Auburn when Auburn fired their coach weeks ago, and DJ Durkin beats you, and he puts the nail in the coffin in the Alabama season, you should then be embarrassed. I would be very surprised if Eastern Illinois and Auburn, forget Eastern Illinois, but I'd be surprised still if Auburn beats Alabama. That would just be me. All righty, Stu, what do we got?
All right, let me ask you a question, Zach. Utah played Baylor over the weekend, and if I told you that Utah came in with Devin Dampier completing 6 of 13 passes for 80 yards, and Baylor had Sawyer Robertson complete 29 of 58 passes for 430 yards.
Ooh.
Who do you think would have won that game?
Well, I know that Dave Aranda's the coach at Baylor. No, I don't want to be a jackass here. I would think that the Baylor Bears would have won.
Well, you are wrong because...
Yes, I know I am.
Utah, yes. Utah, they ran for 380 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground. They actually benched Dampier and went to Bert Ficklin for he's the backup quarterback. They brought him in for a little, and Ficklin ran for 166 yards himself. Wayshon Parker had 129 yards and a touchdown. Nakari Rogers had 27 yards, 2 touchdowns. As a team, just absolutely dominating on the ground, and here was one of those Ficklin rushing touchdowns, a 74-yarder.
Bird Ficklin's going to keep it himself. There he goes again, 35-40, 45-50, stiff arm 40, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown! You got to be kidding me! He's done it again! Bird Ficklin!
74 yards!
Nico.
Dud.
Hey, sleep there? You on the stew diet today? No wonder I eat in rigatoni alla vodka and you're delayed on things. It's amazing now you're looking back at those numbers, Stu. And Aranda's going to get fired. 430 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, and they also had 133 yards on the ground. If you would have just said, hey, Utah only had 103 passing yards, I would have said there's no way that Baylor would have lost the game. And not only lost the game, they lost 55-28. It wasn't even close. That's wild. Alrighty, so those are the college football duds. Now let's get to the NFL duds. I am going to go with Ja'Marr Chase. Just got suspended for a game. I know that he's going to appeal it. He got suspended in the fourth quarter for spitting on Jalen Ramsey, then denied it after the game. Just foolish, childish behavior, and he deserves the one-game suspension. I don't see how they would overturn this on appeal. I don't know what case you're going to have to make, but it's one thing to spit on another grown man, which you shouldn't do. But then you're going to lie about it and deny it. And by the way, this suspension, according to Adam Schefter, it's going to cost him his weekly paycheck of $448,000. And there's also a bonus if he's on the active roster of $58,000. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know he makes all this money, so like it's not that much to him. But what an idiot, because he had to spit on another human being, which is just absolutely grotesque. So I give a dud to Ja'Marr Chase, who had a terrible game, by the way. Like, the spitting overshadows the fact that this guy just did not produce in the game, and he got ejected in the fourth quarter, so he gets a dud from me.
Dud.
Hey, got to play the highlight there. The highlight there.
He was saying that you spit on him. Did you spit on him?
I ain't never opened my mouth to that guy.
So what do you think prompted the reaction from him?
Well, he don't like some of the words I told him.
What are you saying?
I ain't spit on nobody.
Dud.
Hey, Nico, give yourself a dud, all right?
Dud.
You know, a source just told me that Stu said, play the sound, and you didn't play the sound.
No. I said to skip the sound is what I did. No, I know what you told me.
It's just, this is the Bash Nico segment.
This is true.
Nico's like the pinata today. Samter's not here. We need a pinata.
We need one, yes.
So, Nico, thank you for being the pinata.
Nico,
today.
A bigger pinata than Samter.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. What's your dud here?
I think I'm going to go 0-4 based on a previous conversation we had on the show, but I'm going with Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold.
No, I got no problem with that. That's fine.
4 interceptions in a tough loss to the Los Angeles Rams as the Seahawks give away first place in the NFC West. This is how interception number 4 sounded on Rams radio.
Darnold lifts his leg to call for the silent count snap against the blitz. Has time. Now it breaks down. Hit. Jump pass. He throws it away again. Intercepted by the Rams. Out the right side at midfield. LA takes it away with D-Will. 4 interceptions in midnight mode. They've turned Sam Darnold into a pumpkin at SoFi Stadium.
Dud.
Turned him into a pumpkin at SoFi Stadium. That's a line. Alrighty, Stu, send us home. Save us in this segment, because Nico can.
All right, I'm going to go with the Chargers as my dud, and I did not think that going to Jacksonville, I know they had the you know, playing the 1 o'clock Eastern window, but I don't know. I just thought the Chargers would win this game, but they got blown out 35-6, and Justin Herbert wasn't good. He was just 10 of 18 for 81 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. They only had 42 yards rushing on the ground. Jacksonville, meanwhile, Lawrence had a decent game, 153 yards, but it was really on the ground where the Jaguars shined. 192 rushing yards, 4 total rushing touchdowns, including Travis Etienne, who had 2 touchdowns on the game. Here is one of them.
And they run it with Etienne to the left side, to the 10, inside the 5-yard line, stretching for the pylon. Travis Etienne, touchdown! A touchdown run of 13 yards! Jacksonville's extended the lead. This one's been all Jaguars all day long at Everbank Stadium.
Dud.
Alrighty, those are some studs and duds right here on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll skip around the room. We'll see how Nico will botch this segment next, as we will do one college football coach and one NFL head coach that going into the year you question, that are actually starting to make you change their opinion about them and are actually starting to impress you. It's Zach Gelb and Stuart Kovacs doing Marconi Award-winning radio, while Nico is basically trying to get us all fired. We'll take a timeout and come back after these short messages.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network on a Monday. You do got Cowboys and Raiders tonight that will wrap up week 11 of the NFL season. So let's do this right now. As we see the majority of the college football season play on out and the majority of the NFL season so far play on out, and you have takes before the season starts. You don't like this coach. You don't like this quarterback. You don't like this player. And that happens. But let's just skip around the room here, because we could admit when maybe we're wrong or maybe someone changes our opinion and then you start to believe in them a little bit more. But let's go around the room. Give me one coach in college, one coach in the NFL that you said, okay, I was a little bit critical about them before the start of the season, or I wasn't a believer, and now maybe you're believing or you want to give them praise. Let's start college football first. Nico, who is your coach?
I'm going to go with Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. I thought that after they got killed in that playoff game against Notre Dame, after getting killed against Ohio State the second to last game of the regular season, everyone was kind of like, all right, one-year wonder for Cignetti and the Hoosiers. Curtis Rourke obviously was not coming back. They go into the transfer portal, they get Mendoza, and they have done fabulous things this season. Obviously 11-0, ranked number 2 in the AP poll, probably will be 2 in the college football playoff poll when it comes out tomorrow night. So Kurt Cignetti, I thought it was going to be a one-year wonder. I apologize. You have definitely done some good things in Indiana.
Stu, who's your college coach?
I'm going to go with Brent Venables at Oklahoma. Now, going into the season, I think he was kind of, in a way, on the hot seat in a way, but just because of his first few years there were kind of disastrous in a way, and I thought they'd be like, you know, in the late teens, early 20s, maybe finish with 3 or 4 losses, especially with a tough SEC schedule. But they've held their own. They only have 2 losses. Obviously, that big win against Alabama. They could have been Ole Miss. That was at least somewhat pretty close game. And if they beat Missouri and LSU, they're going to be a 10-win team and in the playoffs. So Venables, for me, has really shown a lot this season.
I didn't think this team before the start of the season would win 9 games. They have a possibility of winning 10 games and making the college football playoff. They probably do lose this weekend, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities that they win. But I've been critical of stinking Lincoln and Lincoln Riley. Now, I've always said about Lincoln Riley, he was really good at Oklahoma, but I never thought he was great just because of the fact that he never won a college football playoff game with all those college football playoff appearances, all those trips there to the Final Four. And you also had multiple Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Then he gets USC, has Caleb Williams, doesn't make the playoffs, has a Heisman Trophy winning version of Caleb Williams, doesn't make the college football playoff. And the following season, they weren't even in competition for the postseason, and they had just some dreadful losses. Now, going into this year, there wasn't a lot of optimism about USC. I thought Lincoln Riley should be on the hot seat. And they lost that game to Illinois. Then they lose to Notre Dame. But right now they're sitting there at 8-2. You know, forget about Missouri State and Georgia Southern and Purdue. You know, they beat Michigan. They beat Nebraska. They beat Northwestern over the weekend. They beat Iowa by a score of 26-21. I will give credit to Lincoln Riley, where even if they lose to Oregon and they beat UCLA, That's a guy that is probably going to be 9-3 on the football season, and there's still a chance that he could beat Oregon. And if they are 10-2, I don't think they're keeping USC out of the college football playoff, and that could cause a big problem here for the playoff committee, because I think the playoff committee right now is only really factoring in that 3 Big Ten teams are going to get in, and they're assuming those 3 Big Ten teams that are going to get in are going to be Oregon, are going to be Indiana, and then also Ohio State. Now, here's the thing. If Oregon loses to USC, play the conversation out here. And then let's say Oregon beats Washington. If the Ducks are sitting there at 10-2, do you think they would keep the Ducks out of the playoffs if it came down to just USC and Oregon? You think they put both of them in? You think they would say, okay, USC beat Oregon, so USC's in, and then we'll just leave out Oregon? Because I think the committee's going to try to get five SEC teams in this year. I really do. If you give me four teams from the Big Ten, that would kind of throw a wrench here in this quest to get five teams from the SEC. So if Oregon's at two losses, do you think they still put them in?
I think they would still put them in. And at that point, I would be a little concerned about the fate of my team getting in.
Oh, I think your team, here's the misnomer. There's a spot reserved for Notre Dame in this college football playoff. There is, whether they want to admit it or not. As long as you don't lose to NIU, right, which you did last year and you had to win out, and you can only lose one game. But you have respectable losses. You lost to Miami by three. You lost to A&M by one. I know you could then say, well, who did Notre Dame beat? They did beat USC. Who did Oregon beat? I don't think there's a way a two-loss Oregon gets into the playoff, even though they play in the Big Ten, over a two-loss Notre Dame. And I get it, Notre Dame doesn't have great wins, but in this conversation, that means, in all likelihood, Notre Dame would beat USC, Oregon would not. Oregon's wins this year, and I like Oregon. I think Oregon's going to beat USC. I think Oregon's going to the college football playoff. I think Oregon's better than what people think. They play Montana State, Oklahoma State. These are victories. Northwestern, Oregon State, Penn State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. Like, you better beat USC this week. And then they play Washington after that. It will be interesting, though. There's some scenarios that could really mess this up, like Michigan. All right, Nico, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on Sherrone Moore? I'll explain more about what I mean by there being a path still for Michigan, but what are your thoughts on Sherrone Moore so far?
I think he's a good coach. They have the youngest team in the Big Ten, so I think
Michigan
that's
Homer.
What he's been holding on to. But
Michigan Homer.
I like what Sherrone Moore has done this year.
What has he done, though, this year?
Kept them in playoff contention the entire way.
Who has he beat this year?
I mean, they went on the road and beat Nebraska. I guess you call that a good win. They
okay.
beat Washington at home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they played close enough against Oklahoma where that doesn't look like a bad loss in the committee's eyes.
It shows you the power of the brand, though. Like, that offense stunk against Oklahoma. And then against USC, ugh, that was just a dreadful game. But if Michigan beats Maryland, which they will this weekend, and then they beat Ohio State, you could make the case Michigan has the best win in the country this year in college football. Like, right now, the best win in college football, would it be Indiana at Oregon? Right? That's probably the first thing that rings a bell right now. Now, Indiana, Ohio State, Big Ten championship, that could be one. The SEC, they're just so bunched together. I like Georgia's performance in the fourth quarter against Ole Miss. I thought that was good. But, yeah, you could make the case that if Michigan beats Ohio State, it's the best win in the country. Could you imagine if Michigan in a year where even you, Michigan Homer, they don't feel like a college football playoff team, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And now some talk show hosts don't know this, but Justice Haynes is going to be out for the year, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
You know, I don't know which talk show hosts don't
regular
know this.
Regular season, but yes.
I hear some things on our network where some talk show hosts, you know, just maybe didn't know that Justice Haynes, they just read stats. They didn't know that he was out or not expected to return at some point this season, I guess we could say it. But, you know, I won't dip my toe in those waters too many times, but some of those people like to talk about me. But anyway, Ohio State, if Michigan is 10-2, you think like they probably get in, which is crazy.
I'd like to think so. A 10-2 Michigan with a win over the number one team in the country, how do they not?
Let me tell you, I'm rooting for the most chaos possible. I want to see chaos. Like, let's make this like a 40-car pileup, you know, in rush hour in New York City, just something like that. That could be the current state of the city, honestly, these days. Bro, should I say that, bro? Oh, I can't say that on this station, bro. All right, we'll continue. NFL coach that has impressed you this year that you're critical entering the season. We start with Nico.
I'm going to go with Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. I did not think that the Jags would be as good as they are. I know that everyone's saying that they still don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but who had Jacksonville at 6-4 on their bingo card coming into the year, because I certainly did not. So shout out to Liam Cohen, what he's done there with Trevor Lawrence on his third different head coach to be able to get him playing well enough to keep the Jags in playoff contention. So I like what they're doing down in Jacksonville.
All righty, Stewie.
I'm going to go with Chase Steich in Indianapolis, and 9-8.
Good one.
9-8 his first year, 8-9 last year, and then, you know, going into the season, it was, you know, maybe going to be Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones as your quarterback that you're trying to make the playoffs with, and I wasn't really, you know, confident in either of those two guys, but the Colts are 8-2. Jones looks really good. Their running game is amazing with Jonathan Taylor. Good defense as well, and, you know, he's obviously saved his job and then some with the year they've had so far.
I was at a beautiful establishment yesterday watching all the football games. And I was watching all the games, but there was a Bears fan sitting next to me. And as I see J.J. McCarthy putting the Vikings in the end zone, I told the waitress, please bring us over to Whiskey Shots, because I knew that my friend that I was with needed a little emotional and liquid support in a moment like that. But right after J.J. puts the ball in the end zone, which, by the way, when Jordan Addison catches that football, how did he not tear his ACL? With the hit that he took on his legs. Like, I was shocked that he got up and everything that was fine, especially with how slow it did look. But then the Bears get right down the field, and they end up kicking the game-winning field goal. The Bears usually just don't win those games. And I found Ben Johnson this offseason to be insufferable. I thought Ben Johnson was extremely insufferable after losing to the Detroit Lions. Since those two losses to open up the year against Minnesota, where he botched that game, and Detroit, they've only lost one game. And they've had a lot of back and forth that hasn't always been clean. But if you're a Bears fan, style points don't matter. At this rate, you just got to win. And Ben Johnson at least provides you hope. I still don't know if it's going to work, but he provides you hope. And I'm not saying they even had these great wins. But the fact that they're sitting there at 7-3 and there's a realistic chance they could win the division, I will even tip my cap and even maybe take my hat off and salute Ben Johnson, even though I still find him to be arrogant and insufferable. But the guy is winning a lot of football games. Like the game a few weeks ago at the Bengals. They should have choked that game away. They should have lost, and they still found a way to win. Ben Johnson has just brought, even though it could be sloppy at times, a confidence where this team is now winning a lot of games. And since September, they've only lost one game. It is impressive with what he's been able to do this year. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on back. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will do a news brief next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. It's now time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And when we get to that question of the day, we do have a question, and the question is from Charles in Pennsylvania, who asks, "Will Aaron Rodgers suffering a wrist injury, with him suffering a wrist injury, do we still think they will win the AFC North?" You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Editor at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around the Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I just don't know how long he's going to be out for, if at any time at all. Because I heard Schefter say that he's trying and he's telling people that he's going to try to play through this. Now, it's a left wrist injury and he has a slight break in his left wrist. I know that's not his throwing hand, but how are you going to grip the ball? So I guess Rodgers at the point where he knows he's at his end of his career, so he's like, ah, puck it. I'm assuming that's what he's thinking. I said puck, don't worry. But I'm starting to think the Ravens are going to win that division. I am. And the Ravens have climbed out of this hole. I know that the Steelers have still been able to hold them off, But that December 7th game, Steelers at the Ravens. I know the Ravens did not even look good yesterday in beating the Browns. And they had to pull that out against the Cleveland Browns of all teams. But I'm starting to think that the Ravens are gonna win that division over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Alrighty. It's time to update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's get to Big Red. Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, they lose to the Denver Broncos. They're sitting there at 5-5 on the season. The Chiefs were coming off a bye, and they still lost, which Andy Reid like never does. Here is Andy Reid on the offensive struggles.
Yeah, well, listen, they're the number one defense in the National Football League, so we were fighting, and then we had some where we're going backwards and kind of self-inflicted things, so we've got to take care of that.
I think the world of the Denver Broncos defense, even with that being said, you have Patrick Mahomes. And there was one play where the interception was negated, and then he still threw a pick later on in that drive. Ugh, it was ugly. Here is Patrick Mahomes. He takes the blame for the late-game struggles.
I mean, just having an opportunity at the end of the game and not coming through, getting the ball back with 4 minutes and all you need is a field goal is a spot that we've been in a lot, and we've been able to do that. But, I mean, there's hit things here and there, but I think that's the biggest one is that's what you want. You want to get that opportunity at the end of the game, and I didn't come through.
Now, you take a look at the AFC West standings after yesterday. And I know the Raiders play tonight, but they're out of the picture. They've been out of the picture for, I don't know, about 27 years. But the Broncos are 9-2. The Chargers are 7-4. The Chiefs are 5-5. So did yesterday put the nail in the coffin of this idea of the Chiefs winning the AFC West? I think so. The Chiefs could still make the playoffs, but let's hear how Patrick Mahomes answered that when he was asked if the Chiefs could still win the AFC West.
Obviously, it's going to be tough to get back in the division race, but at the end of the day, all the goal is to get into the playoffs and try to make a run at it. And all you can focus on is next week. You got to learn from this one as much as possible. Got to keep moving forward. That's what this league's all about.
Here's the thing. It's dangerous because you still got to make it. But the Chiefs know if they just get in, no one's going to want to play them because the Chiefs are still the boogeyman, even though this year the boogeyman is seeing a ghost even. And they're being 5-5, and they don't look as strong as they've been in the past. But it's amazing. They are 1-4 on the road this year. Kansas City, like you think whatever place them in any environment they could win, they're 1-4 on the road. And the Broncos, even though I hate that incomplete chant, incomplete, anytime there is an incomplete pass, they are 6-0 at home. Is that the dumbest chant in sports, by the way? The incomplete chant?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of like it, cool. Too. And that's sacrilegious as a Raiders fan to say that.
Well, yeah, you love it because let's be real. Your team throws incomplete passes every time that they play there, and you're probably tanking every year. Why do you like the incomplete chant?
I think it's creative. I think when different teams have their own thing, it's cool.
Can I be honest? For years, I had no clue what they were chanting. Like until 2-3 years.
Same.
I was just younger, hearing the background. And I'm like, what are they saying? And then eventually it was Galley. He's like, bro. Hey, they say incomplete. By the way, Anthony Gallo's favorite coach is Sean Payton. Here is Sean Payton on Bo Nix's performance in the win.
He won. That's his job. He won. And against a pretty stingy defense that can give you problems, there were some big plays there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think Sean Payton cares how they win just as long as they win. So Bo Nix, was he sensational? No, but that throw late in the game to Troy Franklin was magnificent, and it's enough, and they're 9-2, so you can't really kill him for much. Talking about teams that win that people are still critical of, the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't score that many points up against the Packers on Monday. They only had 10. They still won the game. They only scored 16 against the Lions, and they still won the game. Let's go to A.J. Brown. He's been upset with a lot of people as of late. A.J. Brown was asked about the team's offense struggles, even though they keep on winning.
How do you reconcile that, that you got your targets but the offense still didn't kind of deliver the way you wanted to?
It wasn't about targets last week or the week before.
Production.
It wasn't about that at all. It was me trying to help and contribute. That's all. And regardless of what that looked like in phases, I think I did. But like I said, it's a lot of stuff that we as offense and me myself need to continue to get better.
Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. Is he still concerned about the offense?
obviously we want to be better than what we were tonight, but every game's played a little bit different. Like the way the game is played sometimes is dictated of what's happening in the game, right? Make no mistake about it, our goal in every single game is to come out with a win.
All righty, let's keep it moving. We will go to Ernest Jones of the Seahawks. He defends Sam Darnold after Sam Darnold's 4-interception game as they did lose by 2 to the Rams.
I mean, Sam's been balling. Like, if we want to try to define Sam by this game, or what, man, Sam's been had us in every f-ing game. So for him to sit there and say, oh, that's my fault. No, it's not. There was plays that defensively we could have made plays. There were opportunities where we could have got better stops. Yeah, I mean, like, it's football, man. And he's our quarterback. We got his back. And you got anything to say, quite frankly,
wow. I do got something to say. I think it's actually impressive that he threw 4 interceptions and they still almost won the game. Now, with that being said, it's not necessary to say F you in that regard. There's many cases where you could say F you. But you're supporting your teammate. Okay, I like that. That's good team camaraderie. But Sam Darnold's got to go win a big game. You got to win a playoff game this year. Seahawks are a damn good team. You got to win a playoff game this year if you're Sam Darnold. If not, there's that narrative. All right, he has come back from the dead to stabilize his career. But is he just going to be good or is he going to be great? Because last year he was playing great, and the last 2 games of the season he was horrible. Then you have a big spot like this, and you throw 4 interceptions. And let's be real. I know he played his ass off up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers earlier this year. His interception to Lavonte David, though, also cost him the game in that one, too. So he's got to go have a big moment in the postseason this year and win at least one playoff game. Let's go to Deion Dawkins. He talked about Keon Coleman getting scratched. He was a healthy scratch. And the reason why Keon Coleman got scratched is because he was late to a team meeting.
I already spoke to him. When I spoke to Keon before in this game, and I told him, I said, bro, look, don't even worry about it. Everybody goes through a different journey, right? Let's just say that this is the last time. Let's just move forward. And he said, I'm with you. That's all and we need, right? Like, nobody's perfect. But in this league, we need guys to come on. And Keon knows, right? Now he's in a hot seat, and he needs to come on and show up for us. Pat's on the back or over with, and it's time for him to grow up, and he knows it. And as an older player on the team, we hold everybody accountable. And we shoot straight. We don't sugarcoat it. And the words were said to him, and he took it well. And we'll see how it goes in this week. But like I said in the beginning of the season, I'm in Keon's corner, man. Like, this league is hard. Being on time is hard. Being great is hard. Pushing for greatness is hard. So we got his back, but the time is now.
They need another weapon in that offense. And I know Dalton Kincaid is hurt, but he hasn't popped off yet. Keon Coleman was supposed to be a stud. He's been more of a dud. That's just unacceptable. It really is. And you have a chance to go win a Super Bowl this year. It's not because you have this great team. Chiefs may not be in the postseason, but you have a great quarterback. Guys got to help out the quarterback. You know, that's the bottom line. You have to help out your quarterback. And finally, here's Shane Beamer. After blowing the game to South Carolina, it's been a disastrous season. People are saying Lenore Sellers should come on back, but you transfer. Here is Shane Beamer on all those Lenore Sellers rumors.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of absolute horse garbage that's on social media right now.
Well, some folks are saying that he's likely coming back.
Hopefully that's not horse garbage. Some of the other stuff that...
Shane made the comment. There have been a couple of folks out there who have been kind of insinuating that he's coming back.
Yeah, last week that guy was saying he was going to Miami, I think. The same guy was, right? So this social media, it's going to be the... I love y'all, but it's going to be the end of all of us. Some of the stuff.
Winning football games. That's the bottom line. I don't want to hear what he has to say. And I like Shane Beamer when you're losing football games this year and you've been disappointing. And then you're slamming the speculation or the conjecture on social media. The facts are, and his dad said it, Lenore Sellers, last year he was offered a 2-year NIL deal for $8 million. We had him on the show before the season started talking about it in Lenore Sellers. If you're Lenore Sellers, you're probably not going to be a first-round pick this year. You could still go pro if you want. I think you should go play college football again next season. And I don't think it's crazy to suggest that maybe you hit the transfer portal and go somewhere else because this year is just not working with the constant change that is on the South Carolina offense. All right, that will do it. Fun show today. Big thanks to Nico. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to each and every one of you. We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. The Honey Badger is going to join us tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.